Let us then go outside the camp bearing the disgrace that he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city, but we look for a city that is to come. I don't often preach out of anything but the gospel, actually. Have you noticed that over the last 13 years? But today I just decided I'd go with the letter that's in the... And the book of Hebrews is actually fairly difficult because it's very, very Jewish. And unless you're steeped in kind of Jewish tradition, there are parts of this book that are quite difficult. But it ends on this great note. Let us then go outside the camp, bearing the disgrace that he bore, for here we do not have an enduring city, but we look for one that is to come. The church never sits well in the mainstream. You know, you notice I don't talk a lot about Jesus either. Oh, gosh. If I don't die in a heretic fire, I'll be amazed. I don't, you know, because Jesus is our path maker. Jesus is our trailblazer. Jesus is our pioneer. He's made a path for us to walk. And the death and resurrection of Jesus are about as effective as your death and resurrection, my death and resurrection. Jesus set the path. I think I'm close to heresy. I'm sort of on the edge. Jesus set the path on which we should walk. And we pray every now and then, thy will be done. We do that every week. Thy will be done. The church has turned that into thy will be studied. Thy will be discussed in small groups. Thy will be reflected upon. Anything but thy will be done. Thy will has to be done. Where grace is present, something happens. Something happens. It's not a state of mind. It's not about feeling warm and gooey about anything. It's about a lived something. It's about salvation takes place when our feet are moving, when we're on that path. And I really get sick of people who say to me, don't you know Jesus died for your sins? You know, don't you sympathize with people who say, well, who asked him? People will understand if you suffer in order to love them. The death of Christ and the resurrection of Christ will be real if it causes your death and your resurrection. When you pay the cost of love, then it's real. Otherwise, it's ideology. Look, growing up is a process whereby we become increasingly disillusioned, is it not? People say to me all the time, I'm so disillusioned with the church. And I say, from which illusions were you suffering? When I married Robin, Robin's sister's here today from Orange. That's pretty cool, isn't it? When I married Robin, I married the ideal girl. Now, everybody knows that the ideal girl just wants to get you into bed 24/7. And over a period of years, I've discovered I hadn't actually married an ideal girl. I'd married a real girl. And there was a process of disillusionment where I discovered that my ideal actually doesn't exist. I invented it. It's a projection of my psychology. It's not there. And then there's a process of discovering, well, actually the real is a whole lot better than the ideal. It's a process of death and resurrection. We ought to be in a continual process of death and resurrection, where our ideals crumble because they're nothing more than our projections. And we learn to engage with the real, which turns out to be disappointing from our childish kind of projections, but real is real, and who would want to go back to fantasy land? So the church doesn't belong in the mainstream. It's not Constantine's church. It's not the church of all the conquerors through the ages. You know, even whenever the church gets into the mainstream and starts calling the shots, it all gets very sour. Have you noticed? From church history, wherever the church is dominant and ruling, it all goes bad rather quickly. In the Reformation, England actually killed its king. They murdered him because he was Catholic, amongst other things, and there was a civil war, an English civil war. Do you know more people died in that civil war per capita than in any other war, including the First World War? It was a vicious war. And eventually they killed their king, Charles I. And after some time, interestingly enough, after being ruled by Calvinist Puritans, England welcomed back Charles II because the man had the morals of an alley cat and everybody was happy because anything would be better than being ruled by Puritan Christians. Because Cromwell was putting people to death for adultery and it was misery. How did I get there? Oh, okay. Ain't that the truth? Let us then go outside the camp bearing the disgrace that he bore. Jesus, who set this path, was not a God franchiser. Jesus, who set our path, the only people he ever got cranky with were the people who thought they had a God franchise. You know, if Jesus isn't really the setter of your path, then Jesus is your brand. Jesus is your product. Jesus is your toothpaste. Jesus is your kind of soap powder. And I engage with, because now I'm the chair of Sydney Presbytery, you cannot say that God doesn't have a sense of humour that I end up being the chair of Sydney Presbytery Uniting Church. And I constantly engage with people of goodwill who are good-hearted, who are flat out protecting the brand. And I can see why the only people Jesus got cranky with were people who thought they were God franchising, because it's ugly and it robs people of their ability to speak normal language because they can't even say we'll have a barbecue this afternoon without adding in Jesus Christ by the Holy Spirit, da 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 da. Because it's absolute nonsense. If Jesus isn't your pioneer, if he's not the one that's made a path for you that you are following so that your disappointments become sharing in his death, and you're waking up to the way the world really is becomes sharing in his resurrection, unless that's true, what you've got is Jesus' toothpaste, Jesus the brand, Jesus who you want to control. And it's ugly. So we don't have a city here that endures. We look for a city that is to come. We have a destiny. Folks, we are part of something that's bigger than us. When you're on this path, you're always on the way to the awesome. You're on your way to something awesome. We don't know what it is. Can't specify it. We just know that it's awesome and we're headed there. And when we pray, thy will be done, when I really want to get burned as a heretic, I'm going to add a little phrase, through you and me who you need. If this isn't lived, God is nothing but an idea. Thy will be done. And we're on a path toward the awesome. And we can't actually specify where the end of that path is, but God is at work in this world, and we are part of something that's way bigger than us. And so we look for a city which is yet to come. That doesn't necessarily mean heaven or utopia here. We don't know what. We can't specify that. But we're on our way to something, and it's awesome. So then let us go outside the gate, bearing the disgrace that he bore. Have you noticed that the one who set the path was never preceded by a police band, followed up by the governor with motorcycle escorts? The one who set our path was always the outsider. And they crucified him outside the gate. Let us then go outside the gate, bearing the disgrace that he bore. Because if we have to look foolish, if it's our way, if the way of love makes you look foolish, then let's look foolish. If that puts us outside the gate, let's be outside the gate. Bearing the disgrace that he bore. For here we do not have an enduring city. But we look for a city that is to come. Pretty cool, isn't it? When I saw John had put this loaf on here, I thought, nobody recovering from any kind of operation is going to break that. So he sawed it in half for me. And it'll be a bit of a challenge for you to break anything off this. But all is not lost. For gluten-free people. So who cares if we look dumb? You know, our only job is to walk on that path, which is the way of love. And it ought to be joyful. You know, when I first learned about Calvinist theology, I thought Calvinists must be the happiest people on earth because they think God's chosen you. You can't get yourself unchosen. Well, you know, wouldn't you be the happiest people on earth? Well, the history of Calvinism is you'd be really hard pressed to find a more miserable history in your whole blooming life. So, you know, this path that we're on means that there is no obligation for you and me. There is no duty rested upon us, because duty and obligation is what you render to a stranger. But every contact we have can be an intimate contact. I'm talking about a path that's fun. I'm talking about a path where there is suffering, of course, where there is massive disillusionment as all your childhood stuff, all your baby projections of power. You know, I wanted to be Superman as a kid. I used to put my raincoat on, you know, without doing the buttons up, just do the top one and have it back here. And I'd walk home hoping that there was a breeze, thinking I might be Superman. I had fantasies about leaping into a telephone box. For those of you under 30, I'll explain what a telephone box is. It's not the box your iPhone came in. You know, we have these babyhood fantasies about being all powerful, you know, and to have that stripped away is difficult. It's difficult. But it's a difficulty through which we pass in order to find the good news of no us and them. There's just us, that's all. And it's good news. It's really good news. Amen. And the pain is worth it. Amen.